Thank you, Stephanie, for leading us in our praises and our worship. Jesus is a friend of sinners, and we celebrate that today. We know that he is our friend and our guide. And Andrew Harbert, our youth ministries director, is going to now lead us in a time of prayer together. I'm going to invite Andrew to join us from the Harbert home. Welcome, Andrew. Thanks for leading us at this time, and I'll let you take it from here.
Morning, everybody. I just appreciate you guys making the effort to get on here. I'm grateful that in this time that we can still have the community that God commands us to, and how important and strengthening that is to our lives and our walk with God. I also want to just remind you guys as we go to pray that there's no perfect right way to pray. What is most important is not where your hands are or where your eyes are, but where your heart is. So just get in a place where you can focus as best you can in this time as we go into prayer. So pray with me, please. God, we thank you that in this changing time that you are unchanging. God, you never have changed and you never will change. The same things that we learn about you through your word that happened so many generations ago are still true of you, God, and help us to cling to those truths, Lord, and rely on them, Lord, and allow you to be our anchor in this time when there's a lot of uncertainty. God, we thank you also that you are the light of the world, that as we see a lot of challenges and even a lot of darkness, God, that you are continually the direction that we need to look to. You have allowed us to be a city on a hill that we can be used to draw others to you, God. We also just really want to thank you practically, God, for this weather that we've had this week, Lord. It has made a huge difference in our hearts and in the days that we've had lately. We thank you for the weather out there today, Lord, that we're going to hopefully enjoy after the service, God. And we do lift up to you just our needs. They are many, but they are not out of your control. They are not either too big for you or too small for you, God. We just want to pray for this time, in this time for unity, God, that we can more than ever be one, as there are many churches, church groups around the world, Lord, that serve you in slightly different ways, God, that there's only one true God, Lord, and we are all one through Jesus and the truth that he brings to our lives, Lord. So help us to be united in this time. God, we also pray that we would still continue to work as a community, Lord, in this time, that we will be working together, Lord, that we will lift each other up in this time of need, and we will shoulder each other's burdens, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus promised us that he will carry our burdens, Lord. We praise you for that, God. We also just want to lift up all the people that are struggling in so many ways, God. Those that are lonely, Lord, help us to reach out, Lord. Help them to reach out, Lord. Let no child of yours, Lord, feel abandoned or forgotten this time. God, we lift up all of the people that are out of work right now. We know that we read in the news that it was record unemployment in the past few days and weeks, Lord. We know that can be a major stressor and trial and challenge of faith in that time, Lord. We pray that those people would look to you in that time, Lord, and that we would point to you as we have opportunity to interact with those people, Lord, and that you would reach out to them through us and through all of your many incredible ways to reach those around us, God. We do just pray in this time for guidance, Lord. This is something a lot of what's going on in our lives are things that no one has ever experienced before or even thought that we would experience, Lord. And we just need your clarity in this time and how to act, how to love, how to just do the daily things in our lives, Lord, in a way that glorifies you, that is following truth and not that fear that we've talked so much about over the past weeks, Lord. And we know that you are a God that loves to give good gifts. And you will get us through everything as you always have for your people, Lord. And we just praise you in this time. We pray that in this time more than ever that we would become less and you would become more and your kingdom would be built up in a way that we never thought was possible, Lord, that you use challenges to refine and to work miracles, God. And we know that we can believe and expect and look forward to those today and throughout the rest of the coming days. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for this service and all that you're going to teach us through it. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. We want to be continuing to pray as individuals, as families, as a church. Prayer is at the heart of what God has called us to do at times like this. So thank you for leading us today. And again, I invite you to our prayer gathering on Thursday. We had our first ever Zoom prayer meeting last Thursday, and I thought it went pretty well. It's just going to keep getting better. So look for the link in our update, and you can join us for that on Thursday. Courtney Simmons is going to share with us now a message directed for the children, but really for all of us, as she's going to take us to the story of Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. Courtney?
Hello, friends. It is good to be with you today, even if it is over a computer. Miss Courtney definitely misses seeing each of you children, and I am praying for you and hoping that you are doing well. We love you so much. I am excited to give you some encouragement today from the Bible and hope that you can be encouraged this week. First of all, I wanted to thank Miss Andrea. She put together a meeting on the computer for our CLC program this past week. We got to see each other and talk to each other on the computer. There were about 20 children who came onto this meeting. And this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to do it again. And if you aren't sure how to do that, you can email Pastor Keith or Miss Andrea or myself, and we can help you to, or help your parents figure out how to come onto the computer and see our talent show. It will be interesting and exciting, and we would love to have you with us. On Wednesday, Miss Andrea talked about how a lot of things right now in our lives have changed. Maybe you are having school at home now. Maybe you can no longer go to karate, or maybe perhaps you can't see your family and friends right now. And that is a big change for a lot of us. We just want to encourage you that you are not alone. And today, I want to talk to you about what you can do right now while you are at home. I think sometimes when we are thinking about everything that's going on in our world, some people are sick, some people are sad, some people are struggling, and we think, there's this whole world, and then there's me. Maybe you think sometimes, I'm just a kid. I'm just one person. What can I do in this world? And I want to encourage you today that you are incredibly special to God and that you can do things through Him. So we're going to look today at a story that I'm sure most of you have probably read or maybe heard. But if you haven't, I hope you will listen. It is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And at first, Jesus and his disciples had already spoken to a lot of people. And Jesus decided that he and his disciples would go somewhere quiet and rest. It tells us in Mark chapter 6. It says, "So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd," what do you think happened? He just left a large crowd and he was wanting to go somewhere quiet so his disciples could rest. Do you think he told the people to go away? Or maybe he told his disciples to tell the people to go away? That's not what Jesus did. It says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." So the first thing that we can learn from this story is that Jesus always has time for you. He does not grow tired like we do, like the disciples were. He always has time for you and always wants to teach you. Now, the next part of the story comes when the crowd is growing and growing and growing, and soon there are 5,000 people in this crowd. And the disciples are talking, "Look at this crowd. There's so many people. They're going to be hungry. What will we feed them? Do you think that they could just order some pizzas?" No. They didn't have pizzas. They were wondering, how are we going to feed this many people? We don't have enough money to even buy food for this many people. Do you think Jesus was worried? No, Jesus was not worried. He told the people to sit on the grass. Now, there was a disciple, and I'm in John now, John chapter 6, and his name was Andrew. The Bible says, "Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will this go among so many?" So who was there in this crowd? A boy. And he had a sack lunch. Maybe he was going with his friends to hear this guy that everyone has been talking about, this Jesus, who's healing people and teaching people. Maybe his friends said, "Come on, grab your lunch, let's go." And he grabbed his lunch. Maybe his mom packed it, I'm not sure, but he took it with him. Now, imagine you are this boy and you're sitting in this crowd. Maybe you're looking around thinking, nobody else has any food. There's a big crowd. Do you think the boy hid his lunch? Do you think he ate it really quickly? No, he did not. Now, the Bible doesn't give us many details about the boy, but we do know that he had a lunch and he gave it to the disciples. Maybe he just thought that the disciples would eat it. Maybe he thought, "Well, I have enough. These people have been walking for days and they're traveling around and talking to people. I can go home and have mom make me another lunch. So I'll give this lunch to the disciples." I wonder if the boy really understood what his little lunch would do. Let's keep reading. It says, "Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten." So the second thing that we can learn from this story is that God can use you. You might think, I am small. I am a child. What can I do? You, through God, can do great things. Sometimes we feel weak. And the Bible tells us that God's power is made perfect through our weakness. We might feel small, but we have to remember that our God is big. And if we are willing to take what we have, give thanks to God, and give it away, God can take that and use it in a miraculous way and help many, many people. The third thing that we can learn from this story, and this is the last thing, is it says, Jesus told the disciples to gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. The third thing we can learn is that God does not waste anything. No situation, no trouble, anything that we go through, God does not waste it. He can use it to teach us. He can use it to help others, to show others how to find him. God does not waste anything. So this week, I want you to be encouraged by the three things we learned from this story. Number one, Jesus always has time for you. Number two, God can use you, a child, even when we feel weak. God's power is made perfect through our weakness. And number three, God does not waste anything. No situation, no trouble, no time of struggle. God does not waste anything. This week, I encourage you to do something small and let God use it to make something big. Maybe you could color a picture for your mom or dad to encourage them. Maybe you could give one of your toys to a brother or sister in your house who might be feeling a little bit sad or scared. Maybe there's a neighbor who needs some food, and you can ask your parents to help you give one thing out of your pantry just to help them, even if it's one small little thing. Maybe you need to make a phone call or a text or an email to grandma, grandpa, someone from our church directory. There are people who might be lonely, and your one phone call, that could brighten their day and make them make a phone call, and the next person, and the next person. So I encourage you this week to do one small thing and let God use it in a big way. And if you'd like, you can call me or text me or email me and let Miss Courtney know what you did. And I can pray and help and pray that God will help use it in a huge way. So let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus, for each child at Holland Free Methodist Church, Lord, and each child that they know. We pray, Lord, that you would help them to understand that through you, they can do great things. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your story, Lord. Please use the small things that we do in a mighty way, Lord, for your kingdom, that so many people would come to know you. We thank you, Lord, that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to be encouraged this week, Lord, so that we can encourage others. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the things you've given us. Help us to be willing also to give to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Miss Courtney loves you. I'm praying for you, and I can't wait to hug you someday soon. Goodbye.
Courtney, for that encouraging word, there's a lot that we can all learn to share, especially at a time like this. And one of the things we want to remind you of is just the opportunities you have to share with us here at the church. Again, we're not taking our regular Sunday offering, so we're encouraging you to give in some other ways. You can give online. Some are starting to use our new online giving option, and that is available through the church website. And so you can check that out. Also, we still are receiving the mail here at the church. So if you want to mail a gift, you can send that to P.O. Box 246, Holland, Ohio, 43528, and we'll be receiving that as well. But just continue to think about supporting our ministry here and our work together as we share in the service of the kingdom. At this time, I'm going to invite Paula Swan to join us, and she is going to be reading us our scripture for today from Mark chapter 9. Paula?
Good morning, and welcome to Five Swans, home of the Swan family. We hope you're all well. I'll be reading the scripture today from Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. The healing of a boy with an evil spirit. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law were arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, please take pity on us and help us." "If I can," said Jesus, "everything is possible to him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd that was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." May God give his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Paula, for reading to us from God's word. And I want to share a message now on that passage from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, as we consider the importance of praying for faith. And let's say a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts before you, and we thank you for your word that gives us life, that sustains us day by day. And Lord, help us turn to your word now and to be renewed and strengthened by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to go back to the gospel today. And that is where we left off a while back. We were looking at the transfiguration a few weeks ago, but now Jesus has left the Mount of Transfiguration. He's heading towards Jerusalem. And you heard the story. Paula read it to you just a moment ago. Jesus comes down off the mountain. He encounters his disciples there having an argument with the scribes. And they're arguing about this boy who this father has brought to the disciples to be healed, to be delivered from this demon. And they are incapable of helping him. They seem to not be able to do anything. And there's this argument about what's wrong. And Jesus steps into the scene and he delivers the boy. And as he does this, he takes the opportunity to speak an important lesson about faith and about prayer. So at first glance, you might hear this story. You might say, well, this is a story about Jesus' power over demons. And certainly it is a story about that. But there's something else very important that Jesus is trying to get us to see here. And that the primary passage or focus of this passage is on our struggle, the struggle we each have with faith and the struggle we have with prayer. I think we can all identify with the disciples here. We can identify with this father in this story. Right now in our lives, the pressure is on. We're facing a problem. And there's two questions we have to ask ourselves as we face this problem together. Number one, will we have the faith that we need? And then number two, will we pray? Will we pray? And rather than go through the whole story again, I just want to highlight three quotes from this passage, three very important statements that we find here that speak to these questions of, will we have the faith that we need? And will we pray? The first I want us to look at is this question. Not the question, but the statement. Jesus says this to the Father in Mark 9:23. He says, all things are possible for one who believes. All things are possible for one who believes. What's going on here? Jesus speaks these words in answer to the boy's father. Remember what the father said. He comes to Jesus. He says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And so Jesus immediately identifies here the weakness in this man's faith, because Jesus comes right back at him and he says, if you can. Jesus is saying, you wonder whether or not I can. You see, the father has placed the wrong condition to his prayer. Sometimes we put a condition on our prayer. We'll pray, Lord, if it is your will. And that's an appropriate condition to put on a prayer, because we don't want to ever pray against God's will. But here, this guy is saying, Jesus, if you can, then. And if that's how we're going to pray, then we might as well not bother with prayer. Such a prayer doesn't have a chance. If there's something broken in the circuit of the healing power here, it's never on Jesus' end. Jesus can deliver this child, but Jesus wants this boy's father to believe that he can. That's why Jesus says all things are possible for one who believes. So the question for the Christian is never, can he, but only, will he? And here's where we must follow carefully the whole story of the gospel. Because if we do, we start to see the answer. Jesus can, and he will. In fact, he did. It happened when Jesus died and rose again, that the cross and the resurrection are God's answer to every evil, to every pain, to every crisis this world has ever faced. It was the answer 1,000 years ago. It's the same answer today. Remember that with or without this new virus, the death rate for humanity remains 100%. It's never a question of if we will die. It's only really a question of when. And I'm not saying this to depress anybody. I say this to remind us that we have to have a vision and a hope that always sees beyond this present life. We're only going to despair when our vision gets stuck in the present, in the near horizon. We're only going to fret and worry when we lose hope and we forget the glory of what's been promised through the grace of Jesus. This eternal vision that we are to have grounds us. It keeps us going. And no matter what our circumstances are, it gives us hope and confidence. But such a vision never removes us from the moment that we find ourselves in. And that's where we struggle. That's where we fight to give our very best in this battle until Jesus Christ returns. We don't know yet when we're going to be getting back together face to face to worship in person. Right now, we're making that decision 1 week at a time. Next Sunday is going to be online again. But if things continue as the experts are telling us right now, it could be a while. And that may mean that we're not going to be together on the official Easter Sunday. But as a church board, we decided this week that our first Sunday back together, whenever it may be, that is going to be our Easter celebration. But until then, we have to wake up each new day, each morning, and we have to declare with honesty what this father said after Jesus corrected him. He said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And that's the second statement I want us to look at together right now. As I put it up here on our screen, "I believe, but help my unbelief." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that before? I think we all maybe have in times of struggle. And it's important to understand what belief is, what faith is. And as I was thinking about this, I remember there's a story D.L. Moody once told about three kinds of faith. Moody said, first, there is struggling faith, like a man in deep water who's desperately trying to swim. Second, there is what he calls clinging faith. Clinging faith is the man who's hanging on to the side of the boat. He's got something to hold on to, but he's just hanging on. Third, there is resting faith. And resting faith is the one who is resting in the boat, maybe even at a place where he's able to reach out and help others to come in. And perhaps you had a resting faith just a few weeks ago. You had a sense that life was going pretty well, things were in order, and the water was calm, you were kicking back, you were thinking about vacation. Now you're starting to struggle. The water's getting rough. And I think it's going to get rougher before this is all over. So what we've got to do is start each day is with a prayer. We got to pray like this father prayed. "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Can you do that? Can you make that something that you pray every day? Maybe as you first get up each morning. Because it's important to remember, faith is not a switch. It's not something that's either on or off. Faith sometimes is a battle. We have to fight it in the mess of daily life. Faith is like a spiritual muscle that we have to exercise. We have to train it. And we exercise and train it so that we are ready for times like this. The Bible often uses analogies to the military or to sporting events to describe our life of faith. During normal times, it's kind of like our church is in training. We come to church on Sunday morning and we practice our faith together. We do various faith exercises. It's like we're kind of doing jumping jacks as we worship the Lord together. We're doing push-ups. We're running laps. We're getting our faith whipped into shape. I've got news for you. Spring training is over. Boot camp is closed. There's no more boot camp. We've all been shipped out. The battle lines of this fight are just over the next hill. We're about to see what we're all made of. Some of us will just be clinging to the side of the boat or even struggling to stay afloat. But remember the words of this desperate father and pray them every day. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And then there's one more statement from this that I want to share with you today. And that's at the very end of this story where Jesus says to the disciples and all those gathered there, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Jesus makes it absolutely clear that prayer is essential. We've got to pray now more than ever. And we've been training in this, haven't we? We've been training in prayer. Some of you are maybe tired of me beating this drum. I will not apologize. But now is the time we need to pray more than ever. Notice what Jesus says here. He doesn't say, just pray about it. He doesn't say, only believe. Belief is essential. Prayer is essential. But we should never see belief in prayer as like one thing that we can do, or action as another, as if they're two mutually exclusive options. We are always doing both. We're called to pray and to act. And so in this war against this virus, I've been thinking about a song the soldiers in World War II used to sing. It was "Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition." We're going to need to take action. We're going to need to find some ways to get out there and serve others. I'm not sure exactly how that's all going to look. We're going to have to show love. We're going to have to take some risks. We're going to have to put ourselves out. There's plenty to do. But the problem isn't when we do things other than pray. The problem is when we try to rest on those things instead of resting in prayer. The heart of the battle is always spiritual. It's never just spiritual, but it is always first spiritual. So we must pray. Everything we do must come out of a spirit of prayer. Faith comes first. Faith is the foundation. Faith is not something that we're going to add on top of things. It's not something we use to just fill in the gaps where there might be a missing piece. But faith must encompass all, and that's why everything must be grounded in prayer. And that's why Jesus says this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Do you believe that's true about the situation we're in right now? That this cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And if so, if you believe that, and I believe that, and if we believe that together, then we must be joined together in prayer. My question is, what were the disciples doing when they tried to cast out this demon? I mean, didn't they think to pray? You know, we're never short of ideas of things we're going to try to do. But Jesus wants us to pray first. It should be noted that the disciples, at least during the Gospels, were never very good at praying. Jesus kept trying to get them to pray. He would himself go off on alone to pray, but every time he'd try to tell the disciples to pray, it seems like they were falling asleep. And isn't that sometimes been our own experience? We can identify with that. But it wasn't until after the fire, it wasn't until after the crucifixion, it wasn't until after all the disciples' dreams were ended that they finally learned to pray. It's in the book of Acts that the disciples begin to pray. That's when their faith took flight. So let's face these weeks ahead by starting and maintaining in prayer. Let's be honest and admit, as this man did, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. And then let's pray. The Metro Parks recently returned or canceled our reservation for the lodge there at Oak Openings at the end of April, where we were supposed to have our prayer retreat. We didn't request this, but they just refunded the money and said, it's canceled. Well, I have to tell you, they can cancel our reservation, but they cannot cancel our prayer. And we will meet for prayer. We will have a time of prayer, and we will continue to pray together. And I am encouraged by something that is in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews declared this: "Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." At one of our recent prayer gatherings, we attached a phrase to all of our prayers. It's a dangerous phrase. It's an important way to pray, though. It's that phrase, "Whatever it takes, Lord." We brought a lot of requests to God, I remember that day, as we prayed together. But after each prayer request, we added that phrase, "Lord, whatever it takes." Little did we know that we'd find ourselves in a place like this now. But is this sometimes what it takes to get us to pray? Oswald Chambers once said, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace." So remember these three phrases today. All things are possible for one who believes. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to pray. Thank you for helping us believe when we struggle to believe, when our faith is just seeking to stay above water, Lord. Help us to make our first prayer that prayer, Lord, help my unbelief. And Lord, we need you more than ever. And help us to begin and end each day rooted in our dependence upon you. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.